All right. Well, first, I'll just introduce Jeff here. Some of us know Jeff. We call him Uncle Jeff here because he's part of the family and he comes and visits us once in a while. I know Everett likes to call him Uncle Jeff. But just to give you a little background on Jeff, Jeff is with full-time with an organization called Faith Mission. And Faith Mission started overseas and it started during revival. There's a revival many years ago, and they sent out people with, if you think of revival as fire, they sent out people with little coals of that fire, and they sent them all over the world to keep it going. And Faith Mission is here in Canada, and they have a few spots. And I always just think, when I think about God sending Jeff to us, I think about a generous God who said, Red Deer needs a little coal that I'm going to trust somebody with to take to Red Deer. And so that's what I think of Jeff. His family is sent here with a little coal that over 100 years ago, there was a fire and God wants to revive that among his people. And I get emotional even just thinking about how good God is to send Jeff to our city. Like, think about that. God trusted us. Faith Mission isn't in every city. They're not everywhere. But God sent Jeff to our city. And that coal is kept alive by blowing on it with prayers. That's Jeff's ministry. And Jeff's not coming here to say, he's coming here to say personal revival starts in us. Revival starts in our hearts. That coal takes root in individuals. And it goes from then on. And so I'm grateful to the Lord for sending Jeff. I'm grateful that he's able to come here and bring that coal to our church to say he's looking for dry, hungry hearts, that coal can... Yeah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your generosity. I think about your love for this city. I think about your love for this church. And I thank you that you brought Jeff here. I thank you for his ministry to the city. I thank you that you trust him with that coal. And I pray that as he comes here to share that coal with us and what God wants to do, I pray that he would find, that you would find hearts that receive it. I thank you for your generosity. I pray a blessing on our brother Jeff as he speaks to us on what you've told him to say. I pray that he says it and he says it with the boldness that you told him to say it with. I pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I just want to say that Jan and I just feel exactly the same way about you here as we love you guys. I absolutely love coming here to preach. It's a church that has a heart. You're a church that has such a heart for God. And it's a real honor and privilege to be here this morning. We just wanted to thank you for your love and prayers and support and for the opportunity to open the Bible. The Lord has really been speaking to me a lot. And I just want to pass on what God's already really spoke to me through this passage. And I hope that he can bless you as well. I want to share, I'm going to start out a little bit the big picture. And hopefully as we move along, we're going to get smaller and smaller till it comes right here. That's sort of what I hope to do this morning. And the verse that I want to share is Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And it says, Ezra was a priest when the Jews, the Israelites, came back to Jerusalem to rebuild after Nebuchadnezzar had taken them. They'd been captive for 70 years. He was a priest that came back to Israel, to Jerusalem. And it says about this man, it said, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. I'll read it again. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. We're just going to do a little bit of a history I said big picture. We're really looking at big picture. First, to start off with, by why God created us. God created us as people to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. That's why it's good to remember that. That's what your purpose and your what you were created to do was, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. He made us to fellowship with him. And in order to fellowship with God, in order to love God, we have to be able to choose. And so he gave us a choice, and we chose wrong. We turned away from God. The easy way to put, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And then the Bible says the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But we went our own way, and we broke fellowship with God. And so God in his great love had a plan. He himself, one of the members of the Trinity, God the Son, was going to come, and the only way to win us back, bring us back to a holy God, to have fellowship with a holy God, was to make us holy, and he was going to live a perfectly holy life on our behalf and then sacrifice himself so that if we put our trust in him, we would be made holy as well. He paid all the penalty. There's a beautiful truth in the Bible where you sow, you reap. And we sowed sin and we had to reap separation from God. But instead of us reaping it, Christ came and reaped that for us. He died and took the wrath of his Father upon himself so that we could go free. And the beginning of the Old Testament is just preparing us. Everything before Jesus was looking towards the Savior, and everything now we look back at the Savior. Everything we are and have is through him. And so all the way through, God was telling us the Savior was coming, the Messiah is coming. And he used the Israelite nation. He began the Israelite nation because he was going to send his son through the Israelite nation. And the prophecies are mind-boggling. The whole thing is just pointing to the greatest thing that ever happened. That the God of everything redeemed us with his own blood, with his own life. And so he began with Abraham. He said, Abraham, there's going to be a promise come from you. And this promise, this child, is going to bless the entire world. And as we look throughout, he is going to be the Messiah, the Savior. And that promise didn't come quickly for Abraham. He had to wait, and he had to wait, and he had to wait. And he made a big mistake in the middle of it. And then he waited, and then God brought this precious little baby, Isaac. And Abraham showed his heart because he was willing to give even little Isaac to God as worship to God. And God, of course, gave him back. And this boy grew up, Isaac grew up. And that was the beginning of the Israelite nation. And then Isaac's son, Jacob, which later his name was changed to Israel. That's Israel. And Jacob, he had sons. And God told them that they were going to go into bondage for 400 years into Egypt. And it's so neat to see throughout the history of the Jewish people how many times that the enemy, there was such a spiritual battle, the enemy wanted to wipe that nation out. And it's been that way ever since. And they would have been wiped out except for God touched his one son, Joseph, and he went into slavery. We could go into all the stories, but it was an absolute amazing miracle how God used Joseph to save the known world at the time because of the famine that came, but also saved the Israelite people. And they moved into Egypt and they were there for 400 years and they went into bondage. And then they came out of bondage with power through Moses and Joshua. And the Israelite nation just keeps glorifying God, whether they're through their obeying or disobeying. You glorify God one way or another. He's always right. And you can glorify him by obeying him and you'll be blessed, or you can glorify him by disobeying him and you won't be blessed. And Israel is such a picture of that. God just said it exactly the way it is. If you follow me, I'll bless you and you'll be free. If you don't, you'll go into bondage. And the world will know either way that I'm God. And they did. They did it exactly. They went there. There's times where whenever you read, and they did, that was right in their own eyes, you knew, oh, they're going into bondage soon. And it was just as God said all the way through. They had kings who followed God and they were blessed, and they had kings who didn't follow God. And finally, God said, this is enough. And he said, I'm going to send you into bondage for 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar was going to come and finally take Jerusalem, the place where the temple was. And they came, and God called it 70 years. He promised. And when God promises, you know that's what it's going to be. It's going to be 70 years, not more, not less. You'll be in bondage for 70 years. And those 70 years, all along, there was great kings that were through that time. But what we get to read in the Bible was there was great men and women of God in bondage. They were off in Babylon, in different places of this huge kingdom. And God was using them to bring the nation back. And they all knew 70 years. They knew the scripture. They knew it's going to be 70 years. Jeremiah had said 70 years. And Daniel knew it's 70 years is almost up. Nehemiah knew 70 years is almost up. Ezra knew 70 years is almost up. And they started praying and crying out to God. And God raised up these men and women. Esther, again, the enemy tried to destroy Israel, but God raised up this young girl and her cousin Mordecai, saved the Jewish nation. There's nobody that could have destroyed the Jewish nation, but God, it's so amazing how he did it. But every once in a while, you'd see, and there, and this is, we're coming back now to Ezra. These godly men. It said about Daniel, who influenced three of the greatest kings the world's ever known, and he was just a slave. But he influenced so hugely. And it said about Daniel that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He made a purpose in his heart that I'm going to follow God with all my heart. And his life was, God touched that young man's life so powerfully that he influenced some of the greatest influencers of the world. And it says in the Bible that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. And he turns it wherever he will. So even men who tried to do wrong, God is sovereign even over them. And he used some of the wrong things that were done to keep moving towards the Savior. And these men and these ladies, they stood for God in the midst of a tough time. And it says like Ezra here, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And we have to do that. Sometimes we realize in our lives, well, how did I get here? And we have to come back to this spot where we say, oh God, I want to follow you, your ways. And I want to not just prepare my heart to seek you. I want to do it, like it says here. And then I want to let it be known to everyone. That's basically boiled down Christianity. And so these men, these ladies, they got right with God. They cried out to God to bring the promise. And then God brought them back through these kings that were deeply influenced by these people. Some of them were against God. And then they met these godly men and women. And they turned back to God. They turned to God. And God used them to bring the temple and bring the city of Jerusalem, the worship back to Jerusalem. It's absolutely amazing. And the temple was rebuilt and Israel was reformed. And over all the next generations, amazing. We get to read it in a couple chapters, but it came to Jesus, who lived and died for our sins so that we could be free, so that we could have fellowship again with God. And from that moment when the church came alive, And he ripped the temple veil from top to bottom. No more need for this temple. Because now we have a way to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, to the holiest of holies because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ripped it 3-inch thick veil right from top to bottom. You now have a way to have fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God sent the Holy Spirit to the church. And mighty power. The world from Jerusalem, there was a powerful explosion of the Holy Spirit. Like, I don't know how else to put it. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be witnesses unto me. Go into all the world and preach and I'll be with you. He says, I want repentance and remission of sin to be preached to everybody. But wait for the promise, because I give you my promise of the Holy Spirit to empower you to be witnesses. And from that little group of men and ladies, the world was changed, turned upside down, and Christianity spread all over the world. And it's still the same story. If you'll follow me, if you'll obey me and follow me and cry out to me for his spirit, for God's spirit, I'll work in whatever these different areas all over the world, and God's worked all over the world. And there's been great moves of the Spirit of God all over the world. We're going to jump a little ahead to Canada, the United States, North America. The Bible's for today. There have been great moves of God throughout Europe. Everywhere has had, China, Africa, everywhere, but a lot of them had dropped the gospel. And God poured his Spirit out on Europe. And Europe was touched by God, and there began to be fighting over religion. Always comes after you've had a great move of God. And often it's religious people that persecute the true church of God. I mean, history just screams that out. It's obvious, so obvious. But in Europe, religion began to persecute the church. And God even used that. It's neat, even the early church, Paul, who wasn't even a Christian yet, he was killing people and persecuting the church because they weren't going out to share the gospel. Paul was used by God to send them out because they were all afraid of him. He was used by God before he even got saved. God can use anyone. And everything glorifies God because he's God. And so this persecution struck the church in Europe, and they left because a new land had just begun, and they came across the pilgrims, all these godly people who wanted to just start to worship God in freedom. They wanted freedom. And freedom isn't, well, we're going to get to that in a little bit, but freedom is not on the outside. Freedom is on the inside. And they were free on the inside, and they wanted to move to a place where they could freely worship God. And they came, and there's never hardly, I mean, Israel, of course, is a nation, but not been a non-Jewish nation, I don't think, that has affected the world and so been so founded on God, on the Bible, on the Word of God, on Jesus Christ, as the United States and Canada. It's right through our constitutions. It's in everything. It's all our history. It's all about that. They came here to worship God freely and to found nations on God and on his Word. And no nations have been blessed, and no nations have been so free. There was tremendous freedom. We haven't had wars in North America except for one war. Well, a little skirmish too, but and then on mainland North America. But the one war they had was when God, see, United States, it started and they founded it on God, and all the colleges were Bible colleges to train pastors. The schools were meant to teach you how to read the Bible so you could read, you could obey the Bible. We were solely blessed. And over those years, we were kind of like Israel. The church would get cold and weak and get more religious. I mean, people still all went to church, but you'd become religious. And then we needed another revival. And the United States and Canada have had great and powerful revivals that have brought the nation back. Just like we think we're different than Israel. We're exactly this. I always think of that. Oh man, what were they thinking? And then, what am I thinking? I'm just like they are. And so God, in his great power and love, sent powerful. Again, it was just like Ezra. Men and women of God got right with God and started crying out to God for the promise of the Holy Spirit, that God would send his Spirit again and touch the nations. And he did. And the country would come back. And going back to that one war that we've had in North America, the one big war, is the church had gotten weak and cold. And people were crying out to God for revival. And in 1867, or 1866, in that range, there was a tremendous stock market crash that the economy of the United States and Canada just fell. Never have they had that bad of a fall. And it turned the people's hearts back to God. And God, it says in the Bible, as many as I love, I convict and I chasten. When we don't listen to his soft knocking of his conviction, God in his great love will work outside of our hearts to get to our hearts. And he did. The stock market crash hit, and then there was the greatest revival the United States has ever known. It was called the Great Awakening. The presence of God was so powerful in the northeast of the United States that there would be ships sailing into the harbor and people, the whole ship getting saved because of the presence of God. People, one quarter of the United States was born again in a short period of time. It transformed the United States. It transformed Canada. We've had many times like that where we were going the wrong way and then God brought us back. And from that, there was freedom. Every time God moves where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's liberty. Right here. It starts right here. And then soon, as it spreads into people's hearts, there's more and more freedom because now we're free to love each other. We're free to do what's right. And because of that freedom, there was people who said, I'm willing to lay down my life because these people are not free and they will be free. And the slavery was abolished because of a great and powerful revival in the United States and in Europe and in England. And they were willing to die for it. And then the United States experienced freedom again. And they've had many times throughout their history. And what I want to say now is, I hope you can remember this definition. I heard it from someone else, and I think it's one of the greatest definitions of freedom you could ever. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. In Israel, when they were free, every man did that which was right in their own eyes. I'm going to do whatever I want. They went straight into bondage. That's the fastest way to go into bondage on the outside of you. If you just say, I'm going to do whatever I feel like that saying, if it feels good, do it. That is the fastest way to destroy your life. That's not freedom. That leads to bondage. True freedom, true biblical freedom, is not the ability to do whatever you want. It's the power, or it's the desire and the power to do what's right. That's freedom. That's why North America's been free. That's why Christians are free. I remember before I got saved, I thought, I want to be free from all this. I'm going to do whatever I feel like. And within a very short period of time, I almost completely destroyed my life and I was completely in bondage to so many things. The Bible calls them deceitful lusts. The Bible calls it the deceitfulness of sin. Don't harden your heart, or the deceitfulness of sin can come into your life. And it begins to take you captive and you're in bondage. A beautiful illustration of this is Herod and Peter. In the Bible, Herod could do whatever he wanted, and he did. He did whatever he felt like. If you were bothering him, if you thought you were any kind of threat to him, he killed you. Even his own family, he killed them. Anybody that he thought was a threat to him, he killed them. And he couldn't sleep at night. He was just completely going, losing his mind, and he was very not free. And he arrested Peter, and here was the top of the country, totally in bondage, not free at all. And here's Peter about to die the next day, and he was sleeping like a baby, and Herod could never sleep. And the angel had to kick him to wake him up. He was so peacefully at sleep. Peter was freer, even though he was chained to a bunch of soldiers. Peter was free. And that's what the world needs to see, is that true freedom. Freedom is not having everything you want. It's not all these things that the world says, oh, that it's freedom comes right here. And there's nothing you can't hide this kind of freedom that's right here, and you can't cover it up. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And when the church is free, with contentment, walking in the Spirit, with all the fruits of God's Spirit in your life, when the church is free, the world sees, because the North America is becoming deeper and deeper into bondage. See, the Bible says you can sow whatever you want. You can live however you want, but you cannot reap what you want. You will reap what you sow. You can sow whatever you want, but you will only reap what you sow. You can live however you want, but you can't decide what you can decide how you live, but you can't decide the consequences of how you live. And we're reaping what we've sown as a nation. I've lived here long enough, 60 years almost, and it has changed. And we're starting to reap. They say that this next generation is going to be the first generation in Canada's history that the next generation wasn't better than the one before. And sometimes when we've really sown, it unravels quickly. But God will be glorified in that as well. But what we need is not to sit and complain and all, look at all. We're reaping what we sowed. You can fight against that all you want, but it's always nice to be reaping what our ancestors did. We love that. How our ancestors lived and tried to put the Bible on the walls of our parliaments and legislatures, but we're going to be jackhammering them off soon enough. But they reaped, they sowed the Bible, they sowed obedience, and we're reaping it now. Still. But we've been sowing for a long time the wrong way, and we will reap it. But the great thing is that the nation has been there before. And that's why now we're going to get personal. This is what we need. Ezra's. He looked at the scripture and he saw that the promise was coming. 70 years, and so he wanted to be involved. And he went, even though it was very dangerous to go back to Jerusalem at that time. And he obeyed God, and they came together and they read the word of God out loud when it was raining on them. They just said, we're going to follow the word of God. And they cried out to God. You read the prayers of Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel. They cried out to God for the nation, that God would touch the nation again. And that's what we need to do. We need to say in our hearts as Christians, we need to prepare our hearts to seek the word of God again. I remember that day. I'd been taught the Bible since I was 11 years old, when my dad, or 12 years old, when my dad got saved. And I hated it. Every day. Why do we read this every single day? And yet I knew it. I knew it. I'd go do stuff and I knew, oh, this is so wrong what I'm doing right now. You can't unlearn it. That's why we have to teach our kids. You can't get it out of your head. And that's a great thing. And so I was taught the Bible and I didn't want the Bible. But the day when God was working in my life and I'd almost totally destroyed my life. And the day when I said, God, I want to, it's just, repentance is so small sometimes. I just turned. I can't take it anymore, God. I turned to God and I said, God, I give up. And now I want to follow you. And I prepared my heart to seek the word. Now the word was totally different to me. I want to do this so badly, Lord. And you can't get enough of it. Then you realize, what? This is a great book. It's all about your heart. What this book means to you. And I remember saying, God, I want to do this book, but I'd ruined my life so badly. There was tough stuff and I couldn't do it. I remember saying, God, I don't know how you do this. How do you live this book? I want to. That's the beginning. And maybe you're here today. You've strayed or whatever it is. God, I want to follow you again. And you soon find out, I can't do it. That's why when I said, freedom is not only the desire, but the power to do what's right. That's when we come to the place where we say, God, I can't do this. I can't live this book. I need your power. I need your strength. I need you to help me to change my life. And we cry out to God and he begins to transform us from the inside out. There's this freedom begins to flow out of our lives as he begins to help us to obey his word. And that affects others around us. And that's why great revivals, it's when one person is touched, then another, and there's freedom begins to flow. But it takes somebody to turn and say, God, I want to follow your word again. Would you, like Jesus said, you do err not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. See, God says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And there's one reason why we're in bondage. It's either we don't know the truth or we don't follow it. But a revival is turning back to the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we begin to do what the Bible says, even if it costs us everything. And that's when God begins to transform our lives and there begins to become freedom. Remember, freedom isn't the ability to do whatever you want. Try it. You'll be in bondage quickly. I've had to tell that to a couple of my kids. You're going to find out God's power and reality one way or another. But true freedom is the desire and the power to do what's right. And you do err because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. But when you know the scriptures and you know the power of God, that's when your life becomes powerful, because it's him, not you. You're just a channel for God to work through. And we begin to believe the promises of God, and we get together with other people that are wanting to follow God's ways, and we can pray together and see change. And we wait for those promises. And so that's why I feel like your church is a church that wants to follow the ways of God. But everyone, I know in my own life, even this week as I've been preparing this message, there's areas of my life where God was showing me, oh, Jeff, you're going in the wrong direction here. And it always leads to bondage. You need to turn. And I said, God, I want to prepare my heart to seek your word and do it. But I can't do it in my own strength. I need you. I need your Holy Spirit to change my life in these areas. And I lay them down at your feet again. Jannie and Anna are reading a Bible study, a ladies' Bible study book, my wife and daughter. And it's called Anything. That's the name of the book. Wow, is it convicting. Basically, it means if you want to learn how to pray, it has to be anything. You lay everything before God and said, anything that you want, it's yours. Another way people talked about how to have revival is just the word yes, Lord, or the two words yes, Lord, or anything. Anything is yours. And then anything is possible when anything is his. But it costs us. Freedom costs. But just like Gerard de Troyes always said, if you want revival, if you want a personal revival or a corporate revival, it'll cost you everything. But if we don't have that, it'll cost us so much more. And we're finding that. It's costing us. Our nation, it's costing us. We're saying, whatever you think is right, in the area of sexuality, in the area of killing babies, in the area of everything, that we say we're smarter than God, we're going, every area where we do that, we're going further into bondage. And not just as a nation, but as personal. We can sit and go, oh, look at Canada. And God says, look at you. The church is what will turn the country around. We got to stop. Well, you can't help it, what you see out there, but it starts here. It starts in our hearts. It starts in the church. And so we need to do what Ezra did. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to follow it and to teach it, to proclaim the gospel. But you'll realize very quickly, you need God's power. You need God's spirit to do it. And we need God's spirit to work in those around us. And so I just was so encouraged by this. It's never too late for God. God will glorify his name either by blessing North America as we turn back to him, or by allowing us to reap what we've sown. If we think we're the nation, many, many nations have been the same place we are, where they were greatly blessed because they followed God. Many individuals have been the same, where they greatly blessed as they followed God, but they turned. You look at some of those kings, they finished poorly. They started well, but they finished poorly. We don't want to be that. And so that's why our life needs to be preparing our hearts to seek the word of God. Waking up each morning and knowing, God, I need your help. I need your power. And I'm going to read this book, not to judge it, but to let it judge me. I want to follow it. And then we begin to pray for not only ourselves, but those around us. That's what we need. And I'll just close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for your word and for all the many examples in your word. And I pray, Lord, thank you for the example of Israel and of our nation. Please help us, Lord. We want to prepare our hearts to seek you again. And just like these men, and just like the many men and women of the past that cried out to you for the promise of your Holy Spirit, we cry out to you for this city. We thank you for the work you're doing. You are working. There's no doubt about it. And we thank you. But Lord, help us to sow righteousness, to sow, Lord, to pray, to seek obedience to you. And we thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the greatest news in the world. So, Lord, help us not only to seek your word and to obey it, but to proclaim it. to proclaim your gospel. Help us, Lord. We pray that, Lord, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And I pray that you'd set your church free. Free to do what's right. The freedom and power to do what's right. To live your ways. And that those around us who are in bondage, Lord, there's so many people in bondage. Lord, I know I was and I am at times where I go back to these. You said, you foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? That's me so many times. So Lord, set us free again. By your power, by your word. And so that all those who are in bondage will see freedom. Just like Israel was meant to show your power and your glory, I pray that we as your church, that the freedom that we know and we have would be real, and that those who are in bondage would see it and turn to you. Lord, set people free all over this city and begin a work that the rest of the country would see and go, wow, that's God. That's God doing that. And start in this church, Lord. Bless this great little church and each one here and each family represented. In Jesus' name, amen.